Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open now our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear what it is you have to say to us this morning. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. Please stand in honor of God's word. Because of this, the king flew into a violent rage and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. The decree was issued, and the wise men were about to be executed, and they looked for Daniel and his companions to execute them. Then Daniel responded with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the king's chief executioner, who had gone about to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the royal official, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. So Daniel went in and requested that the king give him time, and he would tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his home and informed his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, might not perish. And I realized I didn't flip the page. So I was thinking this is not making sense. All right, so let's start again at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no need to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary, and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." He replied, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the 4th has the appearance of a god." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue to follow the light this Advent season. We began with the creation of light, as it is the very first thing that God created. And throughout his word, we can see the significance of light in contrast to living in darkness. We then saw how light was used by the Israelites to guide them in the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And we see how the light of Christ guides us in our daily lives. Today, we're going in the furnace. Our story begins with the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. And I kind of went back instead of in the wrong place. But in that particular passage that I had started to read, which wasn't what I wanted to read for today, we see that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken from their home in Judah, and they were exiled to Babylon. They were servants in the king's palace, and they really tried to do what God would want them to do in their time of service. They ate certain foods. They really focused on God. Nebuchadnezzar, earlier in this book of Daniel, has a dream, and no one can interpret the dream except for Daniel. Daniel tells him how God has revealed the message of the dream to him. And Nebuchadnezzar was so amazed at Daniel's interpretation that he falls prostrate before Daniel, and he proclaims that surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord King of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Daniel is then placed in a high position as ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and he's in charge of all of its wise men, and he asks the king if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his friends, if they could become the administrators while he would remain in the royal court. Now, you would think that Nebuchadnezzar would have worshipped God at this point. I mean, here's someone that comes in and interprets his dream for him. But Nebuchadnezzar obviously had immense power and an immense ego. And instead, he decides to worship an idol. And this is not some little idol that you could hold in your hand. He decides to build something, an idol, that is 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. For those of you that don't know what a cubit is or how much it would be a thing that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, made of all gold. He sends word to all these high-ranking officials, the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates. He calls them all together to come to this dedication of this humongous image. Then a herald cried out at the time They hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music. And they were told that they were to fall down and worship this huge gold idol. And if they didn't do it, then they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, as time goes on, the satraps witness that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't follow the rule. They will not bow down to this golden image. And so they go back and they report to Nebuchadnezzar about these three. And Nebuchadnezzar questions them, and he basically tells them if they'll bow down to the image, everything will be okay. And their response is, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Needless to say, Nebuchadnezzar was not happy with their response. As a matter of fact, he's absolutely furious at their response. And he orders that the heat be cranked up 7 times higher in the furnace, and that they be tied up and tossed in. The soldiers who carry them to the furnace, they die from the heat that is pouring out of this furnace. And they're tossed in, and Nebuchadnezzar sees a sight before his very eyes. There are 4 men now walking around in the furnace alive. And the 4th, he declares, looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar orders them as servants of the Most High God to come out. And they're not even singed. There's no smell of smoke on them. And Nebuchadnezzar decrees that anyone says anything against their God will be killed. And the 3 of them are promoted in the province of Babylon. And who says the Old Testament is boring? That is a remarkable, thrilling story of how our God walks with us in the fiery furnaces. I mean, imagine that sight when he looks in there and he sees not just 3, but he sees 4 of them walking around. And he sees that they're not burned up. I mean, this thing is so hot. Imagine the sight of that. So let me ask you this morning. Do you feel like you're in a furnace? Now, with the cold weather, some of you might say that wouldn't feel so bad right now. But seriously, do you feel like you're in a furnace? You know, things are so overwhelming, a sense of loss that is so deep. There's confusion, sickness in your life, sadness, depression, problems, financial issues, a workload that seems unbearable at times, a marriage that's on the rocks, family troubles, temptation that bears down on your soul, a deep sense of the unknown future of the world in which we are living, and the list could go on and on. And there are days when it feels as though maybe the heat's been cranked up 7 times, maybe even more. And sometimes you just feel like, I can't bear this much longer. Now, if you're not there today, there may be a day when you are there. And there may be a day in the past that you can remember very vividly of what that felt like. But did you hear the faith of those 3? Did you hear what they said? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. No matter how the Lord decided to work it out, whether he was going to save them from the fiery furnace or if he did not, they basically said, our faith is not going to change, O king. We're not worshiping anyone or anything else. We're worshiping our God. And we know he's going to see us through, O king. They were not swayed otherwise. Could I encourage you to remember this wonderful story? For there is one, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose light outshines the flames of any furnace with his unbelievable presence, who walks with us as he did in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isaiah 43:2 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Jesus walks through the fire with us because Jesus walked through the fire for us. Even at the time of his birth, there was difficulty present. The Los Angeles Times years ago, around Christmas time, wrote an article about how difficult it was at the time of Jesus' birth. A newly betrothed couple is forced to register for a census in a town far away. The woman is 9 months pregnant. When they finally reach their destination, after an arduous journey, there is no place to stay. The woman gives birth in a stable. And James Strange, who is a New Testament, or he is since deceased, but he was a New Testament biblical archaeology professor, says that Joseph's and Mary's hardships would have begun more than a week before the birth of their son, when the couple had to leave their home in Nazareth in the northern highlands of Galilee to register for a Roman census. They had to travel 90 miles to the city of Joseph's ancestors, south along the flatlands of the Jordan River, then west over the hills surrounding Jerusalem and on into Bethlehem. He goes on to say it was a fairly grueling trip. Uphill, downhill, it was not simple. He estimates that Mary and Joseph probably did 10 miles per day. And the trip through the Jordan Desert would have taken place during the winter. It's in the 30s during the day, and it rains and rains, and it's nasty and miserable, and at night it would be freezing. To protect themselves, they probably had on long cloaks, woolen cloaks to keep them, that would shed the water off of them along with the clothing underneath. One of the most terrifying dangers that there was in ancient Palestine was the heavily forested valley of the Jordan River. Lions and bears lived in those woods, and the travelers had to fend off wild boars. Imagine this. You're 9 months pregnant, and you're having to make this 90-mile trip. We're not hopping in our car or flying, but to have to make this trip. The difficulties that were present at Jesus' birth, and then there were bandits and pirates and robbers along the way. They wouldn't have had much to eat, and then when they get there, normally, they would have stayed with relatives. There's no place to stay. And they end up in a stable, in a dirty, filthy environment to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ, through the ministry of his on this earth, certainly met with the difficulties of the religious leaders who were on him constantly and who took him to the cross to die for our sins and was resurrected, giving us the full assurance as we trust in him that he walks with us in the fiery, difficult times in life. Jesus knows what it's like to be put into the furnace. He knows full well what every one of us goes through during the difficult times in life. He understands, and he desires to walk with us. Karen Kingsbury shared a story about a police officer, Adam Armstrong, who received a call just after 9 on Christmas Day while on patrol with the sheriff's department in Akron, Ohio. A woman was weeping loudly in a corner booth at a truck stop on the highway outside of town. Several patrons had grown concerned about her and contacted the sheriff's office. Armstrong sighed and turned his patrol car in the direction of the truck stop. And as a veteran officer of 8 years, he had seen so much pain in the lives of people that he could only imagine what might cause a woman to weep aloud in a truck stop, especially on Christmas Day. As he drove the remaining 3 miles, he remembered how the pain people suffered had been the reason he joined the police force in the first place. Now, 8 years later, his love for the work was as strong as it had been in the beginning. And despite the danger and frustration that came with the job, there were always nights like that one in which he could still make a difference for someone in pain. Not sure what he would find when he entered into the truck stop that was aglow with Christmas lights, he immediately spots the woman still weeping, her face covered with her hands. Nearby sat two frightened little blonde-haired girls. Armstrong's face softened as he approached the children. "What seems to be the matter, girls?" he asked them. The older girl turned to him, look at him, and Armstrong could see the tears in her eyes. "Daddy couldn't get us no Christmas presents, so he left us," she said. "He put our stuff out of the car while we was in the bathroom." Armstrong's heart sank. He studied the woman and gently placed a hand on her shoulder. Then he looked at the girls and smiled a warm, comforting smile. "Well, now, is that so? In that case, I want you two to climb on those stools over there and order something to eat." Reluctantly, the girls walked away from their mother and took separate stools along the counter. And Armstrong signaled to the waitress to get the girls whatever they wanted to eat. With the children out of earshot, he then approached the mother, and she looked up from her hands and stared sadly, her eyes filled with heartbreak. "What's the problem?" Armstrong asked quietly. "It's what my girls said. My husband's not cruel, just at the end of his rope. We're flat broke, and he figured we'd get more help alone than if he stayed. I've been sitting here praying about what to do next, but I don't even have the money for a phone call. It hasn't been a very good Christmas, sir." Fresh tears appeared. "But right now, I just want to know if God is listening. You know, is God listening?" Armstrong nodded, his eyes gentle and empathetic, and silently he added his own prayer, asking God to show him a way to help this woman and her little children. Armstrong believed with all his heart that God has used his angels to protect him in the line of duty on more than one occasion. And he had faith that he could do the same for this family. "She needs an angel about now, Lord," he prayed silently. "Please help her out." Armstrong broke the silence between them. "Do you have family? The nearest is in Tulsa. Armstrong thought a moment, then suggested several agencies that could help her. And as they spoke, the waitress brought hot dogs and French fries for the children. So the officer stood up and moved toward the counter, and he took out his wallet to pay for the bill, and it'll be my Christmas present to her, he thought. The boss says, no charge, the waitress said. We know what's going on here. Armstrong smiled at the woman and nodded his thanks. Then he stopped to ask girls how they liked their food. And as he did, a trucker stood up from his table and approached the waitress. He mumbled something to her, and then she took him by the arm and led him to Armstrong. It was unusual for a truck driver to approach Armstrong on his own. Typically, truck drivers and police officers had something of a natural animosity for each other on the roadways. The trucker wore jeans, a t-shirt, and a baseball cap. He walked up to the counter and stood alongside Armstrong. The officer noticed that the normal buzz of conversation and activity had stilled, and the cafe was silent. Most of the patrons, nearly all of them long-distance truckers, were watching the conversation between the trucker and the officer. Excuse me, officer, the man said, here. The trucker reached out his hand and gave the officer a fistful of bills. He cleared his throat. We passed the hat. There ought to be enough to get the woman and her girl started on their way. Back when he was a boy, Armstrong had learned that cops don't cry, at least not in public. So he stood there speechless until the lump in his throat disappeared and he was able to speak. Then Armstrong shook the man's hand firmly. I'm sure she'll appreciate it, he said, his voice gruff from covering up his emotion. Can I tell her your name? The trucker raised his hands and backed away from the officer. Nope. Just tell her it was from folks with families of their own, folks who wish they were home for Christmas too. Armstrong nodded and thought of the fiercely loyal way to which people who make their living on the road look out for each other. As the trucker walked away, Armstrong counted the money and was again amazed. A small room of truck drivers had in a matter of minutes raised $200, enough money for 3 bus tickets to Tulsa and food along the way. The officer walked back to the booth and handed the money to the woman, at which point she began to sob all over again. He heard, she whispered through her tears. Ma'am? Armstrong was confused, wondering who the woman was talking about. Don't you see, she said, I came here completely desperate, hopeless, and I sat in this booth and I asked God to help us, to give us a sign that he still loved us and cared for us. Armstrong felt chills along his arms and remembered his own prayer, how he had asked God to send help and provide this woman with angelic assistance. The truck drivers certainly didn't look like a textbook group of angels, but God had used them all the same. You know, ma'am, I think you're right. I think he really did hear. At that instant, a young couple entered the truck stop, saw the sobbing woman, and approached her without hesitating. They introduced themselves and asked if they could help in any way. Well, the woman said, I could use a ride to the bus stop. See, I've got the money now and I need to get to. Armstrong stood up and walked discreetly away from the scene to a quiet corner of the truck stop where he radioed dispatch. The situation's resolved, he said. Then he walked toward his patrol car and climbed inside. Not until he was safely out of sight did he let the tears come? Tears that assured him he would never forget what had happened that night in the truck stop. Whatever is your furnace, God is listening. Remember, he is listening. the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shows up, and his great desire is to walk with us through the furnaces in life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your incredible gift of love that you give to us in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when we go through the tough times, and we know there are tough times in life. We know Mary and Joseph experienced tough times even in the birth of your son, O Lord. And we know your son experienced tough times throughout life that nailed him to the cross for our sins. Lord, you know all about tough times. And you know all about showing up when we go through the tough times. We just thank you and praise you for your presence. We thank you that the light of Christ shines far greater than the fiery furnace. And we ask, Lord, that you help us as we continue to travel through this Advent season, just to take a moment and thank you that you get us through the tough times. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. For we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name.